from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Kyle Madsen is still on vacation. He is away from us. We're joined by Jake Gaden. We got Jake Gaden from CBS 13. What's going on, man?
James, thanks for having me back. We were so excited to be here.
Yeah, this is exciting, right? This is exciting that we're doing Ham and Sides this week. Tomorrow
we'll... it's Ham and Sides. I thought it was Ham and Friends.
It used to be James and Friends.
Yes, yes.
Now it's Ham and Side Dishes.
I forgot about that, yes.
Yeah, because I think you were Green Bean Casserole.
Yes, I was, okay. I think
we've landed on.
Yes, we've landed on that.
Jesse is Mashed Potatoes. I can't remember what Jerry Reynolds was. And then Sean Cunningham will be here tomorrow. Sean is usually something unique. Sean doesn't do conventional when it comes to Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes.
Of course, today is the great Kyle Madsen's birthday. So everybody, big shout out to
birthday.
Kyle Madsen. Do we have air horns or anything, Jesse? Because, you know, I don't press buttons.
I don't think I have air horns on this board. They're all on Damien's little hockey bank.
Okay. I'm not touching anything.
It's all good.
I don't want to break anything.
Bam, 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 bam. There you go, Kyle.
There we go.
There we go.
So welcome in. We are, of course, the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320. And we're going to be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours leading up to D'Lo and Casey at noon. Lots of stuff to talk about, I guess. The schedule is being announced later today.
I would say, is that bigger than Kyle Madsen's birthday?
In some circles, yes. In this circle, no.
No, absolutely
like,
not. Okay.
Kyle's birthday is huge.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a big deal. But for in some NBA circles, I think the schedule release is big. We do have, I know quite a bit of, you know, what's happening with the schedule. So we're going to go over some stuff as if we knew what is going to happen because we kind of know what is going to happen. But I also like the final draft, final is always intriguing to me because it sometimes changes. So, Jake, how are you? Like, how are things at CBS 13?
Oh, it's great. You know, we're gearing up for high school football. Starts on the 23rd next Friday. So we're basically a week and a day away. The Olympics are over. Thank goodness on that one.
Thank goodness.
We'll end on that, okay?
Yeah.
And then we've also been college football starting up. UC Davis has got going with their new head coach, Tim Plow, Sac State over with Andy Thompson. So both those guys are looking good. It's football season. I know we're talking basketball today, and I don't think anybody else can stop talking about Brandon Ayuk and if he'll sign or be traded.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's been the dark cloud hanging over us for...
like a month?
Is somehow providing content every day for the last month.
I don't think I have... like dove into video slow-mo of people being dabbed up more in this month than I. But if it, was that a happy dab? Was that a good handshake? A bad handshake? Was that a like what type of handshake? Like just stupid stuff like that.
Jake, for talk sports radio,
yeah.
It literally is the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh.
It's the jelly of the month. It's like really, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year long, Clark. Yeah, so this is like we'll see what happens, but it seems to be coming to a head every time we think that though. It gets extended, and then we never actually know what's going to actually happen. So the Brandon Ayuk situation has just been an absolute mess. Now, some people don't know, but you're an East Coast guy.
Yes.
You're a Connecticut guy, which, of course, Connecticut people don't have a baseball team, so they adopt the Yankees, right?
Basically, it's either Yankees or Red Sox, depending on what side of the state you're on.
Oh, okay.
So, like, if you're closer to Providence, Massachusetts... Red Sox fan. Like, there's a map of it. Like, I live right in the middle of it between the dividing line.
Okay.
And I'm on the left side.
So you're like the Fairfield of
bingo.
Yes.
Wow, look at you.
Fairfield or Vallejo, where at one side of town, I think it's Fairfield, one side of town you get Kings games, the other side of town you get Warriors games.
That's exactly where I'm at. But I get both, I will be honest with you, though. So I think... That's the beauty of the MLB TV app, but that's another conversation for another day.
Okay. I'm not giving them my money because of the A's situation.
I don't blame you on that.
So no. I'm not giving them my money. Like, no. Like if the A's leave, I'm done with baseball for a while. Although, like when they come to Sacramento, it'll be fun. We'll be all over that.
Of course.
And I think like it's kind of a happy medium. Like I know it's not great. You know, Oakland is very upset, and I get it. And fans in Oakland are very upset, but there are also a lot of A's fans in Sacramento who are going to embrace this thing and be excited about it and everything else.
Baseball fans in general will be excited about it, I think, here.
Yeah. Have you been out to any Rivercats games lately?
Of course. I went out there maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They're doing some construction in left field.
Yeah, they're trying to build, I think that's the Solon Club, and it's also the clubhouse.
The second clubhouse. Did you see the tweet I put out earlier this week?
No, I did not.
So, ready for this? There is not one game... this next season where the Rivercats and the A's play on the same day.
Okay, I did see that tweet.
And then the second one is out of the 6 months that baseball is going to be here from the 28th of March to mm-hmm. September 28th, only 29 days there won't be baseball played at Sutter Health Park.
Oh, that field's going to be trashed.
I know, but there's
well,
a lot of baseball.
That's why they're going to put turf down.
I am wanting to know what type of turf, though, because I have done my research. I could not tell you how much research I've done on turf. I cannot tell you. Okay. Well,
there's supposed to be a turf that you can put in that you can put a sprinkler system in to keep it cool.
If you got it better than me, then, because I'm trying to figure out that if that's the case and that's that it won't be 110 degrees on the field when it's 100 and.
Yeah, isn't it? It's Cincinnati that used to have the problem.
Yes.
That it would get up to like 145 degrees on the field or 160 degrees. Like people are literally cooking.
Yes, I do not think that's the type of turf they'll be putting in here in Sacramento.
No. Well, that and you know they've had to go away from like the ground up tires thing mm-hmm. because when the heat is when it's that hot, that tire it starts to like seep fumes. Mm-hmm. And so that becomes an issue. You don't want players like
you don't want players
inhaling. Yeah.
Tire
fumes.
Yeah, that wasn't part of the deal.
No, I don't think it was part of the major league package. Yeah.
Dang it.
Yeah. So I was out there, let's see, was it 2 weeks ago? I threw out the first pitch.
Oh, how'd you do?
I did good. I over the plate.
Okay.
Yeah, I made it to home plate. I was slightly concerned because I was wearing slick shoes that I was going to slide and like do the splits on the mound.
Yeah.
Because it's all sandy.
Of course.
Outside of that, no, I threw a good pitch. It might have been a little outside, but any view that you had, it looked like it was right over the plate. I mean, like,
you didn't bounce it, though.
No, it was...
And
it was,
we didn't do a LL Cool J or whatever it was.
I didn't lollipop it.
Yeah, okay.
No, it was knee-high heat.
Yeah. I feel like as long as whoever's catching is able to catch it, it's a perfect first pitch.
Thank you. That's
yes, just don't bounce it and don't hit the backstop.
Exactly. And I think I did really well. It was Marvel superhero night, so I was surrounded by Marvel superheroes. It was very strange.
Oh, Superman was looking. No. It's not that. Superheroes.
Like,
okay.
Spider-Man,
Captain America.
Spider-Man was doing a pose, and what's his name? Iron Man. There was a dude. It was like 106, and there was a dude in a full Iron Man suit. Like, I just felt so bad for him. And then I almost had to throw out the first pitch to a dude wearing a Thor costume.
See, that would have been so much more fire than throwing it to a Rivercats guy.
I don't think so, because he didn't have a good glove.
Yeah.
And he kept coming back with, like, a different, like, 70s glove that had been left out underneath a car somewhere.
Like, no.
I was like, bro, I could throw a perfect pitch and you could still drop it, and then I'm going to be the one who looks bad, yes. Not Thor. Plus, he gets in a crouch. He's got, you know, a big fake padded suit. And you could just see, like, his helmet slipping down, and maybe I hit him or something. Ugh. And then you got kids crying in the stands. Like,
see, but then you go viral. Yeah, there's the vision right there, James.
You know, you said it was 106, James?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Was Friezo not there? Did he not make the appearance?
No.
He was melted already.
He probably turned his, yeah, like, it was, melted.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, exactly. We could have used some of that.
We could have used him as, on that day.
That's right. I think one of the cool things about Rivercats, about the A's coming here, is we're going to get to see players like Aaron Judge come to Sutter Health Park. And Aaron Judge yesterday, again, I bring this up because you're a bona fide Yankees guy. Yes. He had his 300th home run yesterday. I looked it up. He's got, 43 homers on the year. He's got 142 homers over his last 3 years and 180 plus over his last 4 years. What do you think he gets to?
That's a great question. I could see 600.
You think he doubles?
I think he could double this.
Okay, so 600, just so you know, that's six more years at 50 home runs a season. You think he can get there?
I think
that puts him at 38.
I think he has two more seasons of 60. I think
what?
I think he can do 60 this year, dude.
Well, I think he could do 60 this year. Yeah, if he's at 43 right now and they've got like 37 games left or something.
And think about this, playoff wise, like, because those count in the playoffs, right? Like his career.
No, those don't count towards your career.
They do not.
No, playoff home runs don't count.
Never mind then. Can I take it back?
Yeah.
Can I go to 500?
You think he's going to hit 100 postseason home runs? Wow. That's a lot.
100 over and 5 to 8.
He's got 8 years. Yeah. I don't think that's a lot. I mean, usually you hit like five
or six.
He's
going up there right now hitting home runs every other at bat.
If he plays like six more seasons, he'll get to 500, I think. At least.
I think, I think 500 is legit. I think he might even be able to hit 550. But I don't think he'll get to 600. Maybe I'm wrong.
Now, does he get to 60 this year, though?
He's going to come really close.
I think he's going to get up to like 55, 56, and then they're going to intentionally walk him for the last week of the season.
Okay.
What's going to happen. I'm going to be so... As a Yankee fan, it's so infuriating because you see Juan Soto go up there, get a nice long walk, right? Because he's one of the most disciplined hitters out there.
Yep.
And then you have Judge come up, they intentionally walk him, and then the lineup just trails off from there because Giancarlo can't hit right now, and you have Austin Wells who's having a good month, but they don't have another bat after Judge.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to be a Yankees fan. I'm sure we're all feeling
so
really, really bad for you and all the players that your team has bought over the years. Although hat tip to the Yankees, a guy like Aaron Judge has come through their system.
Volpe.
They have a lot of guys over the course of the last 30 years who come through their system.
You have to now, though.
And then they buy everyone else, and yeah. So the Giants got smoked again last night by the Braves. They're now 4.5 games out in the wild card standings.
Ask me if I'm surprised.
This was a disaster three-game series where they just got completely annihilated by a team.
Can I blame one person for it?
Who is it?
Bob Melvin.
You're blaming Bo Mel?
Yes. Want to know why? I don't like the calls in the two extra inning games. The bunt versus non-bunt. Why are you taking...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Your hottest bat right now, we can all agree, is Tyler Fitzgerald, right?
Yep.
Why are you bunting with your hottest bat?
They thought that there's a possibility he may have done that on his own. I don't know. I'm with you. That was a weird play.
I can't see Tyler Fitzgerald doing that, though.
Yeah.
And I know Tyler pretty well. Like, I just...
You think he... This is a baseball decision? I don't know.
Sometimes there are just players just doing whatever they want, right? But I just can't... Tyler, with how well he swung the bat, I think he would want to put something in play, not just... move the runner over.
Yeah, really strange.
He's
strange,
a great base runner, too. I don't know. The night before was Bo Mel's fault, though. So,
yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to start diving into the NBA schedule. The NBA schedule is getting released today at noon.
Yay!
We may or may not know some of what's happening with that NBA schedule, so we will discuss some of the finer nuances of the NBA schedule that will be released. It will be almost like a look ahead, I guess. You're listening to The Insiders on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back in. I am James. He is Jake Gayden from CBS 13. Joining me today, filling in for the great Kyle Madsen, who is celebrating a gigantic birthday today. It's actually... Hello.
Did you know this? You know my real name is James?
Really?
Yeah, I can show you my...
I don't trust you. You might have to show me. No, you don't have to show me. It's okay. I don't need to see your Connecticut driver's license.
It's a California one, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hold on.
Really? I'm not sure you want to put your ID out on the internet.
Chatty House?
But the Chatty House is bigger than just, you know.
Okay, well, it's there.
It's there.
It's there. Okay.
It's been checked.
It's been checked.
So we have James Squared today here on The Insiders. Both of us, I guess, are named James. I had no idea.
The only time when I go by James, though,
when your mom's yelling at you,
yeah, basically. How'd you know?
Pretty much.
Yeah, as a dad, it's pretty standard. Okay.
Yeah, Jake, you seem like someone who might get yelled at by his mom on occasion.
Just occasion. Just a couple of times.
Yeah, just saying. Yesterday we went over this this David Aldridge piece, right? David Aldridge from The Athletic. One of the true gentlemen of the sports writing world, a really, really good dude. He's got his rankings of the 2024 offseason moves. And this doesn't mean that he believes your team is the bee's knees if you're in the top 10. He just thinks that you had a good offseason. And so we went through the bottom 10 and then the middle 10 yesterday. Jake, I was telling you the... most of the Pacific Division is from like 20 and down. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, all of them except for the Sacramento Kings
are 20 and down.
So let's get to what he has as his top 10. And to be honest with you, I'm really surprised that his number 10 is the Dallas Mavericks. And for me, I was surprised by this because this is a team that went out and got Klay Thompson. They went out and got Najee Marshall. They got Spencer Dinwiddie. They got Quentin Grimes. Like, they were moving and shaking. They even signed Kings legend Kessler Edwards. Yeah.
Oh.
They did lose Derek Jones Jr. They lost Tim Hardaway. They lost Josh Green. But overall, I think that, you know, I would have thought that they would be higher than 10 just because I think league-wide people fall in love with a move like the Klay Thompson move. Like, where are you at with them as number 10? And do you think that they are a threat like they were this year when they went all the way to the NBA Finals?
I think they're better of a threat because I do believe Klay is an upgrade to Tim Hardaway Jr. I think some of their other smaller moves are going to have a big impactfulness. I think one thing that the thing that the Mavs had this past year was depth,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of it. I think that is something that they've added to, but the Mavs are only going to go as far as Kyrie and Luka take them.
No, that's true.
That's just...
They took them all the way to the finals.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Oh, it's very good, but that's just the nuts and bolts of it.
Yeah, I think it was such a weird Western Conference playoffs. Like,
But that was because it was a weird Western Conference season. Everyone was beating up on everybody.
No, I totally agree. It was a very strange season to me.
Like the fact that, we can go into it a different time, different place. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. At number 9, we have the San Antonio Spurs.
Not surprised.
They added Chris Paul. They added the Harrison Barnes. They drafted Stephen Castle. And they also, they did the really weird move where they traded Rob Dillingham. And that, to me, that was very strange. They will get Devin Vassell back. They'll get Zach Collins back. They will get Victor Wembanyama in year two. But number 9, again, I'm going to say that seems a little high. I mean, if I look at the Dallas moves versus the San Antonio moves, I guess in a vacuum, I don't know. Like, getting Chris Paul and Harrison Barnes are really, really strong, like, support pieces for Victor Wembanyama for, like, 2 years from now. Like, the player he's going to become will partially be because of the experience he has here in his first and second and third seasons, and having guys that are proven leaders, proven NBA good guys, proven pros is probably a really good move.
And I think the veteran leadership is going to be something that he probably wants to yearn for a little bit. Hey, he knows how to be an athlete and how to be a basketball player, but maybe the nuances of the game between Harrison and Chris can elevate his game and just become a better pro in the NBA.
Yeah, I think Harrison Barnes certainly will help him like learn the rigors of the schedule and how to take care of your body and how to maintain and all of those things, how to get into the community, how to do a lot of the other stuff that being a pro means. And also, like, I'll tell you, like, I've been around plenty of coaches in the NBA. Michael Malone told me one time that, like, without any doubt that Chris Paul is the greatest leader he's ever been around in the NBA. And Michael Malone started his career, like, with LeBron James. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Michael Malone knows his players. And while Chris Paul might not be beloved by fans mm-hmm. everywhere, he is a leader that like controls the room, which is really crazy.
Do you think Harrison Barnes teaches Wemby his Euro step? The huh, 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 huh.
I don't know that.
That's not part of the game.
Victor Wembanyama needs a Euro step. But if he learns a Euro step, I think it'll be like move, move, dunk.
Yes, yes.
Move, move, dunk, dunk. Yes. You're like, oh, did he just double dunk that?
Yes.
I think he double dunked it.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. At number eight, we still have not seen the Sacramento Kings. We're building momentum here. This is a very strange one as well. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they fired J.B. Bickerstaff. They retained none of their free agents, but they did extend Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen. So if you're going to give them a big three, I think he's actually giving them like a boost because they were able to, they hired Kenny Atkinson as their head coach. They drafted Jalen Tyson in the first round, number 20. But then on top of that, they were able to retain sort of their big three, which is, I think it's foreshadowing for the Kings that retaining a player might mean a lot in David Aldridge's rankings.
I think so, too. I like the Kenny Atkinson acquisition and bringing him in. I think he's going to do a lot for spacing wise offensively. I think that's something that maybe not one-on-one play, a lot of, you know, a little bit more of a ball movement. I'd like to see Jared Allen, see what he can do with the ball in his hands, maybe play a little bit more DHO type stuff. But I like what you said with, like, hey, they retain their big three guys. Now they have something, they have a base plan to build off of, right?
Yeah.
Those are your big three. Let's make the small tweaks around there to elevate even more.
Yeah, and I mean, I would throw Darius Garland in as another one
you
of them.
You like
their,
Garland's game?
I like him. I think so. Did they bring Okoro back? Whatever happened to Isaac Okoro? I don't think I know what
happened.
He's
a free agent, I believe.
Still?
Yeah, I believe he's a free agent. He hasn't gotten a deal yet. I'll double check that, but I'm pretty sure he's a free agent still.
He's restricted, so yeah. They can match any deal. But man, if he's still available, like...
Zing.
He's a guy that I would be intrigued by. Okay, let's get to number 7, because we're building. We're building momentum towards what could be the Sacramento Kings in David Aldridge's ranking. The Brooklyn Nets, again... very, very interesting. Basically, he's giving them this high of a ranking because they picked up a 25, 27, 29, and 31 first-round pick. I think they picked up another 25. They picked up a pick swap. They picked up more pick swaps. They picked up second-round picks. So while they lost a whole lot of players, including Mikal Bridges and Kata Bates-Diop, They added a bunch of assets, which is probably what they needed to do, and they hired a young coach that can help sort of develop this thing.
Don't disagree.
Okay.
You're on it.
Yeah, I think
when you look at Brooklyn, what do those picks turn into? Like, and if you look at OKC, if they take the same roadmap that OKC did,
mm-hmm.
drafting, getting all these guys. Then you can I can say I agree with that, but I just you don't know what draft picks you'll get, and you don't know if it'll be like when you do have to choose if it's a good draft or a bad draft, right? You got to hit on guys.
Yeah,
I think that's the big risk, especially in the NBA.
Well, I also think when you trade with the Knicks, which is a team that now is going to be really, really good for the next 5 years.
I would say 5 years at least.
Yeah, so you're going to run into that as a problem because, like, the Villanova, Team Villanova, they've got four of the Villanova dudes. They're going to be just, like, really, really difficult to deal with. And I think that they're going to be a perennial team. You know, we're going to get to the top five of this list when we get back from the break. Where do the Sacramento Kings land? We're the insiders here on ESPN 1320. I'm James Hamm. He is Jake Gaydon. Filling in for Kyle Madsen. We'll be back in just a minute. Come back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me, Jake Gaydon from CBS 13. We're talking all things Sacramento Kings here in this segment. We've been working on David Aldridge's list of the best offseason moves by NBA teams, ranking the teams from 30 all the way down to 1. And we just finished up with the Brooklyn Nets at number 7. We get to number 6. Drum roll, please. I don't have any buttons. The Sacramento Kings are number 6.
Hey! Yeah, 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 yeah!
That's really, really solid. Oh, look at that. We do have air horns. Look at that. Yes. Okay, so the Sacramento Kings, they, of course, acquired DeMar DeRozan. They acquired Jalen McDaniels. They signed Orlando Robinson. They drafted Devin Carter. They brought in Isaiah Crawford and Isaac Jones on two-way contracts. The departures are, of course, Harrison Barnes, Chris Duarte, Davion Mitchell, Sasha Vezenkov, and then some dude, Jamal Sheed, who was traded a second-round pick that was drafted by someone else using a Kings pick. But I think the biggest thing for David Aldridge is, like, two things. Number one, DeMar DeRozan is huge, the addition of DeMar DeRozan, but also retaining Malik Monk, and of course they also retained Alex Len, but the Malik Monk signing is probably what puts them over the top here in David Aldridge's rankings.
And I think they're perfectly situated at 6. I think that's a great ranking for the Kings. I think I completely agree with everything that he outlined in that. Another great thing to outline in that he did mention that I'll throw in there is he did mention about retaining Mike Brown as a head coach. I think that is a wrinkle that maybe people aren't talking about as much, just to make sure he's not playing on that final year of his deal this year. But I do agree. I like every move they've made. Do I feel like they could make another move? Yeah, but that's another conversation for another day.
Well, whether they could or they, I mean, I think we've gotten to the point where they might not be able to make
another. No, they're not, because the value is not there.
Well, I don't know if the value's there. Like, you have to have a partner to, you know, like, you can't just sit
there.
Takes
two to tango, yes.
Yeah, and so if there's a possibility of that changing, like, in the future, I'm going to leave a door open for them to make adjustments on the roster as we get closer and closer to training camp. I think that there's still possibility. I mean, it feels like we're getting close to basketball season. We're 6 weeks away from training camp.
We're still away, yeah.
6 weeks away. Like, I was looking, I was like, oh, man, this is a lot of time. We got a ton of time before training camp. And there's all kinds of moves that have been made in this portion of the offseason the last couple of years. Like, a lot of them, like the Damian Lillard trade, I think the Kyrie Irving trade happened during this time. Like, there's a lot of things that can still happen. So I'm not going to say that they're done, but I do think that it's possible. It's possible that this is going to be the team that they walk into the season with. Rounding out the top five, just so we get this done, and we show respect to the teams that finish above the Kings in David Aldridge's ranking. The Boston Celtics at number five. I don't think they really did anything.
They didn't do anything, but they're the defending champs, so that's the reason they're running it back.
Yeah, like they are, but they also, like, they have everyone locked up. They have five guys making $30 million or more. That's wild. The Knicks at number four, of course, they took the big swing and got Mikal Bridges.
Not high enough.
Cameron Payne they signed. You know, they made some moves. They made some moves, definitely. They did lose Isaiah Hartenstein. They lost Alec Burks. They lost Bojan Bogdanovic. They Shake Milton. Like, there's some guys that they lost in this whole deal. But they also, again, to get back to sort of this saying, they signed OG Anunoby to a five-year $112.5 million deal.
Thank you.
They picked up the club option for Jericho Sims. They brought back Precious Achiuwa. And they extended Jalen Brunson on
team friendly.
That's where they're getting their ranking.
Yes.
Right there is the team friendly addition, bringing Jalen Brunson back at a discounted rate. Number three, we got the Orlando Magic, KCP and Corey Joseph. So they went old school, and the guy they lost was Joe Ingles, but they were able to retain Jonathan Isaac on a big deal. Mm-hmm. Gogo Bidazi. Mo Wagner, Gary Harris, and they extended Franz Wagner. Number two, Philadelphia 76ers, which this is fully expected. The Paul George signing is a huge coup for them, but also they brought in Eric Gordon, Andre Drummond, Caleb Martin, which was a steal, Reggie Jackson. They drafted Jared McCain, Sacramento kid. They did a lot of good work. They did lose Tobias Harris and Nick Batum and DeAnthony Melton, Paul Reed. They lost Buddy Hield. They lost Mo Bamba. But again, let's get back to who they retained. Tyrese Maxey on a five-year $204 million deal. They brought back Kelly Oubre on a two-year $16 million deal. They got Kyle Lowry back. They got Kenyon Martin back. So they did some good work.
I like everything that Philadelphia did this offseason. They were going to be that Eastern Conference between those Celtics, Knicks, and 76ers. Get your popcorn popped.
Yeah, my only question is, how long does it take for that team to gel? Because realistically, you're bringing back like two players.
Agreed.
Kelly Oubre was there, but two legitimate like frontline starters, and then you have all of these other pieces. Like that's a lot of roster turnover, like 9 or 10 different roster players. That's going to be crazy to see how it all works out.
And Joel Embiid staying healthy,
well, that means everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going anywhere without Embiid.
Yes.
So, yeah. And then the final one, number one on David Aldridge's list, the Oklahoma City Thunder, which they're pretty high on OKC. Isaiah Hartenstein. Signed a three-year $87 million deal, which is absolutely ridiculous. I don't know what happened there and how he got all that money, but he did. Alex Caruso they acquired. That's a big one.
That was the best one.
They got Nikola Topic at number 12, which is a steal because he would have been much higher, but he blew his ACL out.
But it's a year for him, right?
Yeah, so he's going to sit out for a year. They traded Josh Giddey. They retained Isaiah Joe and Aaron Wiggins. I think that's a little high, but it is what it is.
If you're doing your list, who's number one?
It's got to be Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Philly.
I put Philly, and then I honestly put New York too.
Yeah, I would have put New York up higher. Yeah.
I think that's and then maybe OKC filling out the top three.
Even Dallas, I think Dallas I would have put up there.
You really like those Dallas moves.
Well, you're talking about a team who went to the finals and who didn't even play Tim Hardaway Jr., and then you just replaced him with Klay Thompson. And I don't think Klay has a ton left in the tank, but I think just the respect that Klay gets, that's going to be pretty stellar.
And space the floor more and better.
Yeah, and I like Najee Marshall. I think that was a nice little sneaky pickup.
Yep.
I like him better than I like Derek Jones Jr. Mm-hmm. I mean, Derek Jones Jr. just kind of flames out almost every year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. Either way, it's a great list, and big shout out to David Aldridge. I think this is like, for me, it's a really honest opinion, like well-educated look at the league, because a lot of times that's not what we're getting. We're getting these instant reactions that put the Kings at like one of the worst signings of the year with DeMar DeRozan.
The Athletic does a good job, though. Can I like give our shout out to a couple of guys around here?
Well, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sam Amick is just incredible.
Yeah, Sam can't come on the show, but go ahead.
Sorry. Sam's great, though, okay? Sam, if you're listening to this, buddy, I think the world of you.
Yeah.
I think James does, too.
I do, too. Yeah, he's been on the podcast many, many, many times, but as far as here, no. And Slater, good stuff,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Those guys is well-educated. They're not ESPN just going off of the stars every single day, which drives me up a wall.
Well, that and or like I was saying yesterday, like ESPN, when the Rosen trade happened, they literally had a graphic of DeMar DeRozan in two different uniforms and saying how it was a lose-lose situation. It was a lose for Chicago for losing him, and it was a loss for Sacramento for getting him. And I'm just shaking my head like, what exactly does that mean?
I want to meet the producer of NBA today. Yeah. That's what I want to do.
Okay, so Jake, we haven't got to talk since this happened, but what exactly, what were your thoughts about the DeMar DeRozan addition?
I think it's great. I think it's an upgrade, and everyone could say whatever they want, but nothing against Harrison Barnes, but Harrison, it can't be that. Okay, the best example is, and I set this up with this, okay? Imagine what happened again this year, happens again next year, where Malik goes down, Kevin goes down, you don't have a true second person to go get a bucket, right? And you saw a lot of De'Aaron Fox trying to do as much as he could and will his way there, but you need a second guy. They had Harrison Barnes try to have that role at the end of the season, and it didn't work. Like, he had one good game against the Warriors, if I'm correct on this, and then after that, it was just kind of fizzling out, like, especially in that rough six-game stretch at the end of the season where they were battling to try to get out of the play-in. Like, the guy couldn't get a bucket, and I think that has nothing to do with him. It's just that's not his game. With DeMar, you have that. I think you have a bona fide second guy, even third guy, if Malik's out there in that fourth quarter, that can go get a bucket, and that can close a game. I'm really excited to see what a fourth quarter team looks like for the Kings. Everyone's like, well, defensively, they've gotten worse. I'm like, yes, Harrison was great because he could guard 1-4, but I don't think DeMar can't do that. And I think DeMar has an opportunity to prove people that he is a good defensive player. And I don't think they're losing that much on the defensive end. So overall, to get to your question, I think it's a great move. I think they got better this offseason. I still think they need more length, but that's another conversation for another day.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the conversation for every day that we've always had. It's just, the length and athleticism of the league, that's where the league is gone.
Yes.
And the Kings still don't have those pieces. Like, you're still going to have to figure out a way to go through a team like the Pelicans, but also a team like Minnesota, who just like every position, they got a guy with a like +8 wingspan, and that's really, really tough when you just don't have those guys. So it's not that you can't get around it. It's not like you can't beat them, because the Kings have proven that they can. But at the same time, I do think that they still need that one or two adjustments to find those players, and until they do, I don't think we talk about them as a team up here. We talk about a team up here, you know, so a really good team, but a team that you're still waiting for that one extra move that puts them over the top. And it doesn't have to be a big, super expensive, like shiny, crazy move. It's got to be a move that brings in the right type of complementary pieces to go with what they already have.
And if you don't do that, then don't make the move. Simple as that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't make a move to make a move. But I don't think Monty or Wes have ever tried to do that.
No, no. I think there have been plenty of times where I've said this, even on the show, like, don't make a move to make a move. Make a move because your team's not good enough.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
And I felt like that was something that should have happened last year, and it did not. Like, there came a point where it's like, hey, look, your team's not good enough. This team is not going to get to the second round of the playoffs, and then they don't even actually make the playoffs. But like, predicting that would have been difficult. Predicting injuries down the stretch would have been difficult. But I think you're right about the DeRozan thing. What I love is that by bringing him in, you bring in a true shot creator, not just for himself, but for others. And so what that's going to do when you do have an injury, or when you just need shot creation in a game, when the ball gets sticky or shots aren't falling, you now have a guy who can get to the line at a super high clip, but also who can hit from anywhere on the floor and find a guy like Keegan Murray for a wide open look in the corner. Like, what he brings to the table versus Harrison Barnes. And I'll even say this, like, the metrics don't back up what everyone's saying about DeMar DeRozan versus Harrison Barnes as a defender. Harrison Barnes allowed his defender to shoot, his offensive, like, counterpart to shoot something like 41% from three last year. Mm-hmm. DeMar DeRozan held his opponent to 34%. So it's possible that their defense won't take some big, giant hit. I just wonder how it's going to work out, like what it looks like when it's on the court.
I also think, who's closing the game? I don't care who opens the game. I want to know who's closing it. And do you put DeMar at the three, Monk, De'Aaron, Keegan, and Domas?
Yeah, as of today. But, I mean, those things can change.
Like, I personally, though, I like Keon in that final group, too.
Yeah.
Because I think you need a good lockdown defender.
Where are you at with your starting lineup? If it were today, what would be your starting
right
lineup?
Right now, starting lineup?
Yep.
De'Aaron, number one, point guard. I like Keon at number, starting as the second guard. Okay. DeMar at the three, Keegan at the four, Domas at the five, Malik closes, Kevin Huerter is going to have to be more of a role player. Kevin will get his time. But I think Kevin is a more of a role player this year. I'm intrigued to see something with Kevin this year. If he does come off the bench, how well does he come off the bench? Because he's never come off the bench in his career.
Yeah.
We're dating back to high school and college. So is that a psych thing that he can get over? We'll find out.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. Like, I don't know what it's going to look like. Like, as of right now, I think you're going to open up that shooting guard position, and you're going to, you know, make it as close to a
true competition.
Yeah, true competition as you can between Monk and Ellis and Huerter. But I think doing right by the team is, in my opinion, is the same thing that you said. It's Keon Ellis at the two, and it's because, like, number one, either way, it doesn't matter who's at that position. You're like the fifth option, right? You're the fifth option on offense. So, like, I'm okay if a guy is out there who only shoots threes and gets breakaways, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I need a defender. I need someone who's willing to accept a role. And sure, Kevin Huerter has, like, a bigger gravitational pull, but, like, Keon shot over 41% from three. Like, he checks all the boxes, and he allows De'Aaron Fox to walk out on the court in the first quarter and just go offensively and not worry about who he's going to defend, because Keon will take the toughest cover, mm-hmm. and he'll take the second or the third toughest cover, with Keegan taking a tough cover as well. And so that's how I would go, but I don't know. That's also a pretty small lineup.
It is, but that they're a small team.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real about that. You know who I'm excited, though, if Kevin does play in that second unit, who we get to play with? Devin Carter. I think that the two of those tangling together, I think, could be special.
Okay.
I like Carter's defense and his distribution, and I love how Kevin can space the floor for him.
I just wonder how long it's going to be before we see Devin Carter.
That's the question. That makes me so sad. It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking January before we get an update.
Yeah.
And so
we might lose it for the full year.
Yeah, I mean, 6 to 8 months is what we heard like right away, and I wouldn't be surprised if he redshirts or comes close to it. There's a possibility he comes back late in the season and plays like small amounts, but
if he does, that'll be fun. But this. Everything I've heard out of my friends from Providence, I mean, everything says that guy is a bona fide stud.
Yeah.
Like, everything I've heard.
Yeah, it really does feel like they got a good player. It's just how long is it going to take? You know, the injuries. And I think also when you draft an older prospect, which he is, I mean, 22, when you draft an older prospect and then he's going to miss substantial time to open his career, I mean, this is a big deal because he can be there watching in training camp and stuff, but he's not going to be cleared to do anything in September, which means he's going to be watching like the whole time, and he'll be rehabbing the whole time. But like, he will be behind when he does step on the court. We're still talking about a rookie. And so maybe he can make an impact late.
Maybe he could sit behind De'Aaron and learn from De'Aaron. I don't know. You just don't. I'd love to see how he does coming back from injury. I don't think this is the first major injury in his career, so I think that's going to be the interesting part.
Well, that, and he played through it, he said, last year, good portion of the year. But that doesn't matter because he wouldn't have the surgery. Now you don't play through it. Although we did have Dr. P. We had Dr. P on, and he talked to us about like the recovery, what it will be. And with this type of injury, it used to be, you know, they keep you in a sling for like 3 months or something. That's not what they do anymore. They start doing range of motion almost immediately and try to start rebuilding
the muscle.
Yeah, so I think it's a little bit quicker of a recovery. Leezy in the chat is asking me to open the phones. I'm not opening the phones because I don't take calls and I don't have a dump button. I do have a dump button, but I don't typically know where to hit it quickly. So I'm okay without opening the phones, Jesse.
No phones today?
Yeah, no phones, because I typically don't take calls.
Okay.
Leezy, throw it in the chat, though, my guy.
Yeah, sorry, Leezy.
Or DM me, one of the three, okay?
If Kyle was here, he would call you Don and then hang up on you. So I hope that makes you feel better. All right.
Moving on.
Yeah, that's one of those things that it's Kyle's gag that we run with every day, that everyone who calls in is named Don. Yeah.
Interesting.
Because we don't have a call screener. No, so he's taking...
Well, I can take the calls today.
Well, no, you can take the calls today, but then no, I'm not doing that. Because then if I've got to hang up on somebody, I don't know.
James, I can hang up on them. You don't have to worry about it. You just talk to them. I can handle the rest.
It's okay. It's okay.
Jesse hasn't hung up on John from Connecticut yet, so...
Never hung up on John in Connecticut.
That's right. Let's see. We do have a couple other things here to talk about with Kings stuff before we get into schedule and all that stuff. Who in your mind needs to be the big breakout player this year? Who has to have a breakout season?
Keegan Murray. I am like intrigued to see what evolution he can take from year two to year three. I think that's where I'm at in terms of wanting to see where his game goes. I think he needs to get tougher, needs to get stronger trying to go to the rim. Defensively, I think he's great. Showed that he can really defend 1 through 4. I love his 3-point shot, but I'd love to see his midi game get better, and I'd love for him just to get stronger going to the rack and not be afraid to take some contact, man. Like, I just don't know if he has that dog in him. Like, I think we all had JaVale McGee on a couple weeks ago talking about his celebrity softball game, whatever it was, right? And he said, like, hey, this team didn't have some dogs in him. I just want to see if he can bark. Like, can Keegan come out of his shell a little bit and show some emotion and be able to be physical and be a guy a little bit?
Yeah, okay, so the Keegan Murray thing, I get. But I also, I'm slightly concerned that when you go out and you sign a guy like DeMar DeRozan, who took 17 shots per game last year and then went to the free throw line for another like 7.7 free throw attempts per game, that there's going to be less opportunity. And I don't know that that's a horrible thing. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. We'll have to wait and see how it functions, right? How it works in functionality. But for me, like, I expect him to get better, to get stronger, to do more. But I'm also worried that, like there's just not going to be enough shot attempts to go around. And I don't think DeMar DeRozan's going to take 17 shots per game this year, but I do think he's going to take 15. And I do know that Harrison Barnes took like 8.8 last year. So where are you going to get those extra 6 or 7 shots? And that's where it becomes like a bit of a question mark for me. There, you know, we can talk about it all the time about like there's only one ball, but you're going into the season with quite a few playmakers now, like 3 legit perimeter playmakers in Fox, Monk, and DeRozan, but then also one of the best passing centers in the league. And so you're going to, four guys on this team are going to average like 24 assists per game, mm-hmm. roughly. That's incredible. Like you have that kind of like offensive versatility, but at the same time, not one of those guys is Keegan Murray. So I could see in a world where he's more efficient and he's a better player, but also where his usage is way lower and his shot attempts are, you know, he struggles to get his shot attempts. And so maybe he doesn't take a leap on like in statistics, but a leap as a player, like what you said, like he does need to show that he can go inside and you know, throw down a dunk on somebody. I think he's shown more and more of that over the last, during last season, but I'm worried that especially this year in particular, he's going to have a tough time taking that leap to like 18 points a game where I thought he would. Like I thought I kind of penned him in for 18 points this season and Domantas for 19 and Fox for 25 plus. And then you take a guy like DeRozan who averaged literally twice as many points per game as Harrison Barnes. And you're wondering, okay, how is it going to impact some of the other players? And so that can be an issue. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this will just be Keegan Murray gets wide open looks all day long because he's playing with great passers everywhere, and that's the way it's going to work.
I also think when you take Kevin Herter out of the equation as that starting shooting guard and the amount of shots he took to start the game, and you give those shots to DeMar, I think that is where the distribution might be a little bit better. Plus, you got to remember, DeMar was the guy in Chicago. Like, he's not the guy in Sacramento.
No, he's not even the second guy in Sacramento. I mean, I think he's the second scoring option for sure.
Of course.
But the second option, the first option is really it's Domas. Mm-hmm. The first scoring option is De'Aaron. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be interesting, but I also think that it might be something like buying Keegan a year, also getting Keegan a different type of veteran that I'll make this distinction. Harrison Barnes is like a selfless dude. Like in life and on the court, he's fully a selfless dude. That's not who DeMar DeRozan is. They're just different in that way. And I think that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I think you can get so far with Harrison as like your mentor and as one of your vets in the room. But sometimes you do need to go to somebody who's a little bit different, who is a little more on the court, a little bit more selfish, and like he will lead by example in a different way than Harrison could. And they're both great leaders behind the scenes, but sometimes a player like Keegan needs to see somebody who isn't selfless, who is like, hey man, I need you to score now. Like I'm done with the soft, I'm done with the you just hanging out and watching things, I'm done with all that. I need you to go and take over right now.
I want the Keegan Murray where, remember when Mike was about to sub him out for Sasha?
Oh yeah,
and he turns over to Mike on the way back and says, "Sit him down." All right, I want that Keegan. All right, that's the Keegan I want.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, look, I don't think it's that far away. I think he's a player that I think the Kings have a huge amount of faith in, and like they believe in his potential. Now let's see what he looks like. I mean, we're getting to the point where the player he's going to be in year 3 and really the player he is in year 4 is probably the player he's going to be the rest of his career. Mm-hmm. And you're hoping that he can reach that height. And I would like to see a moment where, you know, again, DeMar DeRozan can start to take less of a role so Keegan Murray can take more. And it's because Keegan has gotten to the point where he's good enough mm-hmm. for DeMar to feel comfortable handing some of that off to him and saying, look, I don't have to average 24, but I could average 20, I could average 18, but I'm going to need you to take those points and be that guy. So yeah, I think it should be interesting. All right. We're to the end of hour number one. When we come back, we're going to talk a whole bunch about the NBA schedule.
I am so excited. You've been like teasing this.
I have been teasing it. Like, yeah, I'm trying to like wait a little bit because the NBA schedule is going to drop at noon.
I know.
And we're trying to like, we're doing some like weird foreshadowing stuff here.
I just think it's going to be so exciting.
Some old Johnny Carson, like hold the swami, like hold the envelope to your head and like guess what will happen on the schedule. We're going to do all that here on the Insiders next. I'm James Hamm. He is Jake Gaden filling in for Kyle Madsen. We are the Insiders on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.